My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Ah, yes, today's call of the day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. And who better than Connor Hughes? Does a great job covering the Jets, the Giants, the NFL for SNY. Connor, good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you, Moose?
I'm doing really well. What did you make of what you heard from Douglas regarding the Hassan Reddick situation?
It's funny because anytime I'm asked about the Reddick situation, whether it's professionally or personally with people who see me or just Jet fans that know me, that kind of a thing. I feel like this broken record because I've just been saying the same thing every single time dating back to minicamp. And I think what Joe did when he had his press conference today was he just reiterated the same exact things we have been saying dating back to when he didn't show up to minicamp. It's this standoff that really I don't know when it's going to change, because this isn't like, to me, Jamar Chase or Brandon Ayuk or anything like that. This is a situation where the Jets, and this is Joe Douglas's words, where he said that they have made it very clear that they have said, we are not giving you an adjusted contract until you show up. And from Reddick's point of view, he's saying, I am not showing up until I get a new or adjusted contract. And it's just this odd little standoff where neither side is willing to budge. And why there has been no update and there has been no change is because those two sides have not changed their stance. They are still saying the exact same things, and neither side has been willing to budge. And from the Jets' point of view, they've said, we're not changing. And I think the words that stood out to me that Joe Douglas said was that the ball is in their court. So that's the way that they view this. When Hassan Reddick shows up, it will be when Hassan Reddick wants to show up. So when he decides to end his holdout, it could be in an hour. It could be after the season. It could be week 8. They don't know. That's when this thing will end, but not until that happens.
All right, Connor, when did it change for Reddick? You know, he's brought down to Florham Park, said everything.
Yeah.
He said all the right things. What was the point where the communication or the stances changed from Reddick and his agent?
I wish I could tell you. And this is where, again, I don't know Tory Dandy from a personal perspective. So it's not like I can go and be like, oh, this is what Tory's telling me. But from the Jets side of this, and that's what this is the Jets side, as I can tell you, is that when this, they were given permission to speak to Hassan Reddick before the trade. So basically, when Hassan Reddick said, I want to be traded from the Eagles said, okay, you can go talk to other teams. The Jets were given permission to speak to Reddick. They made that initial contract offer to him, which was a very team-friendly deal. It was never something that Reddick was going to accept. when he denied that, the Jets say that they told Reddick in that moment, if you want a more lucrative contract extension, you need to come out and play for us in season and perform in season, and we will take that film and we'll hand it to Woody Johnson, and that'll be our justification to pay you. If you want an adjusted contract, show up and show you're committed to us, and then we will commit to you. The Jets say that they were told by Reddick's representation at that point in time, okay, we will play on our current deal until that point in time, we're good. They execute the trade, he comes out, boom, all of this breaks apart. That's basically when it happened. And from Reddick's side of things, he's saying that the Jets are lying and that that's not true, that they said they were going to have a new deal and the deal wasn't done. It really is a he said situation. But from what I understand, when the Jets realized we might have an issue was basically when communication was completely cut off during the voluntary portion of the offseason program, because they were under the impression, Moose, that he was going to be there for OTAs, not just mandatory minicamp. He was going to be there for OTAs. That's what he told multiple coaches when he showed up for that physical, that he was going to be there for that. When he did not show up for that, it was kind of a little puzzling. When there was a lack of communication at that point, that was a little puzzling. And then obviously when he did not show up for mandatory minicamp, that's when things became abundantly clear that there was a divide. And I can tell you that from what I've heard, the way that it was phrased to me was somebody got in Reddick's ear. I don't think it was his agent. I don't think this was Torrey. I think that Torrey and Joe have a pretty good mutual respect for each other, that they had an understanding of how this was going to go. At some point, someone in Reddick's circle got in his ear, and then this obviously all kind of went to hell.
All right, two more on Reddick before we move on. The thing that hits me is that for Reddick, the relationship between Reddick right now and the Jets, do you think from what you understand, Connor, do you think it's beyond repair?
No, because if he shows up and he has double-digit sacks or he's the force that he's been the last 4 or 5 years of his career, no, I don't think
there's... Well, to get him to show up. I mean, to get him in the building. I mean, I mean, that's the thing. To get him there. He's been remarkably productive.
I hate to say that again, but so here's the thing, is that it's all contingent on Reddick and when Reddick wants to show up. And I don't know Hassan at all. I interviewed him, actually, his rookie when he was in the draft. Like, he did the event in Philadelphia, because I think that was the year he was drafted in Philly. So I did an event and talked to him there, wrote a feature on him at the time for the Star Ledger. But that's my only communication that I've ever had with Reddick. Those that do know him, though, that I've talked to, some people that are familiar with him, they believe that he is the player that if he decides he's going to hold out the year, he's not going to be swayed by public opinion. He's not going to be swayed by a paycheck. He will stick to his guns and hold out the entire year. Are we there yet? I don't think so. But honestly, this is, again, Moose, it is just when Reddick decides he is willing to show up, that's when this thing will end. And until he decides he's willing to show up, I don't know how it's going to change. I really don't. Other than the Jets say right now, Moose, that they have the leverage. They believe that they have the leverage, which, again, when all we have is training camp to come off of, they can say that. They can state that Will McDonald's stronger. They believe in Michael Clemens. They love these three undrafted guys they kept. They believe they have enough in the defensive line room. That is fine, and your only option is to believe them until there is tangible proof that that is not the case. That tangible proof comes in the opener against San Francisco when the Jets lose and they can't sniff Brock Purdy. If that happens, the leverage shifts from the Jets to Reddick, and that's when Reddick can basically say to the Jets, I'm not a luxury, I'm a necessity. Right now, the Jets say he's a luxury. When he becomes a necessity, that's when I think Joe Douglas is, I think that's when things might change from the Jets, where they make they maybe come off their stance of, we're not negotiating with you until you show up.
Well, that has to be it, Connor. I mean, it has to be the case of somebody, as you mentioned, not his agent, somebody gets in his ear, this is an all-in year for the Jets, you've got the leverage, you're a necessity. Franklin Myers is a Bronco. Huff is an Eagle. They need you to get after the quarterback. The window on Rodgers is closing. Now you have an opportunity to squeeze the Jets for a new contract. I mean, that had to be the case where Reddick's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm not coming there. They need me. That defense needs me. That had to be. I'm just curious exactly when that transpired, because that he believes that he has the leverage, not the Jets.
Well, from his standpoint, his stance is that he thought that the Jets were going to give him the adjusted contract. The new contract obviously was never coming, but the adjusted contract, converting non-guaranteed to guaranteed, building in incentives, I think he was under the impression that that was coming basically as soon as the trade was going down. The Jets insist, they insist that that is not the case and that they made it clear that they were not doing anything until he showed up, when I think Reddick believes he was at least getting that adjusted contract right off the bat. He got annoyed by that. He got ticked off by that. He believes that they were lying and that he's basically said now that I am not showing up until you give me a new deal. And the, like I said, I hate repeating.
But really,
no, not for you, Moose. It's just because I wrote a story today for SNY, and I'm like, I'm basically copying and pasting the same story I've written four times. Nothing's changed. Like, literally nothing's, it's the same exact thing. And I feel bad because, like, you want news, fans want news, everyone wants news, but truly nothing has changed, because all this is that the Jets are saying, we are not adjusting our stance, so it's all about when Reddick wants to show up. And until Reddick decides to show up, nothing's going to happen. Now, where I believe the Jets' stance will change, and it has to change, is if that first game of the season against the 49ers, and especially if it's week one and week two, if they're not sniffing the quarterback, they're going to have to make an adjustment here, because they can't die on their sword in a win-now season where they absolutely have to make the playoffs and make a run. They believe that Reddick is a necessity and he has to help them and they need him to win. That's when I think that they just change it. Forget pride. Like, you got to go out there and win football games.
Yeah, percentage right now of him being there week one against San Francisco, 0?
I'll get maybe 1%, I would say. Yeah. Joe just talked to us today. He hasn't had any communication with his representation, Tory Dandy, in quite a while. I think it was before the Judon trade was the last time that he had communication with him. So it's been a minute or two since these two sides have talked, as Joe just told us. So I don't know. Now, granted, Moose, like, all it takes is Tory or Joe picking up their phone and having a conversation. Suddenly this is all resolved, but it certainly does not look very good for week one.
All right, let's talk about Jets big picture outside of Reddick. How talented, you know, when they cut the roster, how much more talented is this group this year than they were a year ago, Connor?
Very. This team's really good. I feel weird saying it, because every year I've covered the Jets, they've been some variation of bad. This team's really good, dude. Like, there are... The only two questions that I really have about the roster, Moose, is wide receiver 2, where you don't totally know what you're getting from Mike Williams or how much is left in the tank of Mike Williams, and I don't think that Alan Lazard is very good. And then Jason Brownlee, who they were planning on relying going into the season, was cut. So, like, it kind of tells you he just didn't develop as expected. I do think he'll be back on the practice squad, but it's just he didn't develop as a starter like they thought he might. Wide receiver 2 and safety, where it's opposite Tony Adams with Chuck Clark. If your biggest concern going into a season is wide receiver 2 and safety, you're a pretty damn good team. And that's truly what the Jets are. I mean, they have weapons. They have playmakers. This offensive line, when healthy, is absolutely dominant. Aaron Rodgers looks as good as he's ever been. And they have a top 5, top 10 defense. So I guess you could loop in concern too being offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett. I think that is an issue of mine, but I think Aaron Rodgers is so good that he's probably going to alleviate a lot of those concerns. So from a talent perspective, they're up there of the top 3, 4, 5 most talented teams, not in the AFC, in the entire NFL. I genuinely do believe that the Jets are that good. It's just a matter of them putting it all together.
Connor, those that have concerns about Saleh as a head coach, where would you push back?
We're going to find out. I there's nothing to push back on, because there's no evidence that he's a good coach. I don't think alarming evidence he's a bad coach, because you can point to he hasn't had the quarterback, he hasn't had the this, he hasn't had the that. We're going to find out this year, and we're going to find out very early if Robert Saleh has it or not. I believe he does. I just from getting to know him, I do think he's a solid coach. It's just a matter of we need to see it now, and we are going to see it, because there's no more excuses at all. You have the defense, you have the offensive line, playmakers, quarterback. Now you got to go out there and win games. If they're not winning games, then you can absolutely point fingers at the head coach.
You know, this group vibe, one more on the Jets, and I want to get to the Giants, yeah, as Shane and Dave's met with the media yesterday.
I got time, Moose. I'm driving down to the beach right now, man.
Oh,
I
there
got,
you
I got
go.
All the time in the world.
You
I got a nice little, I got hour and 50 on the GPS right now, so we can do the Moose and Connor show.
Where are you going on the Jersey Shore?
We go, my wife's family has a place on the north end of Wildwood, so we're going down there.
Nice, kicking off Labor Day weekend. That's fantastic.
There all right. Go.
Good enough. You know, when you look at, you know, the vibe around this team. Last year was hard knocks, obviously, year one with Aaron Rodgers. This year, pressure on Woody Johnson, you know, make the playoffs, all the stuff that we heard about in the offseason, guys' jobs are on the line. Does this group, you know the it's one thing to know you're good, but you think everything is in place for this team to be able to handle the expectations as well?
Last year, they were cocky. They were arrogant. They were full of themselves. I think they drank their own Kool-Aid, and they expected to go in the last year and win. And I don't mean that from just players. That's coaching staff. That's upper management. That's ownership. I mean, when you literally had Woody walking around the field with a blinged-out Woody chain like Sauce Gardner had with the sauce sign. Like, they were feeling themselves last year, and then they got slapped in the face. Whether the Aaron Rodgers injury, the losses, the Zach Wilson, everyone making fun of them, they were very much humbled. They're going into this year very well aware that they are a very good football team on paper, but that they need to prove it. And in a way, if the Jets accomplish what I think they're capable of accomplishing this year, I think a big reason why they do it is what happened last season. Like that, they were very much humbled, and they now realize that there is nothing else matters except for what the scoreboard reads at the end of every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and I guess Saturday now technically, and Friday too, whenever they're playing NFL games. That's all that really matters. And they know that, and they're aware of that, and they know that this season they got to go out there and win it. They know they're capable of winning it, but that doesn't mean anything. They actually have to go out there and do it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, we're talking to Connor Hughes from SNY. Let's move over to the Giants, Connor. Before we get to some of the stuff that Shane and Dave's had to say yesterday, I want to ask you, you know, just kind of general feel. Year one for Shane and Dable, you know, there was unexpected, right? But you knew it was going to be an upgrade from Gettleman and Judge, right? But you didn't know what to get. Tremendous. Last year going into the year, expectations, obviously, after year one success, you know, a lot of positivity. Year three, a lot of negativity around this team in terms of the expectations going into 24. Has it almost gone too far to the negative in terms of the Giants for the 24 campaign?
No, because I think they're pretty bad. They're not a very good football team, I don't think. They've got some good players. They have some building block pieces there with Malik Nabers, that pass rush, the offensive line. I talked to Jet sources after that joint practice they had, and they praised the Giants' offensive line universally. So the offensive line's better, but the quarterback is an issue. Everything on the offense outside of Malik Nabers from a playmaking perspective is an issue. The secondary is very, very bad. Fabio Carriquet is good, but you worry about what's next to him. Also, the Giants' ability to stop the run. I know Chapman's a good camp story, but are you really relying on him to be a run stuffer next to Dexter Lawrence? I mean, there's some problems on the Giants' roster that are going to hold them back this year, where it would not surprise me if this team only wins 4 or 5 games. I mean, that's I just don't think they're very good. But the thing is, the flip side of it is that I do believe that Joe Shane is building this thing the right way. I do believe that Brian Daboll is a good coach. It's just going to take time. And you mentioned that playoff season, Moose, and I honestly think that was probably one of the worst things that happened to the Giants, just because it gave this false sense of where they were in their rebuild. And after that first year, they were still, from a talent perspective, probably one of the 5 or 6 worst teams in the NFL. They really would have valued from another top 10, top 5 draft pick, not only in the first round, but 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round. And instead, because they won that playoff game, they were picking, what, 25 or something along those lines?
Yep.
So I think that actually hurt them a little bit, and unfortunately you're seeing that because, yeah, I know it's year 3, this is usually where you turn it around, but the Giants aren't necessarily where a year 3 team should be, and I think because they actually won that playoff game, that's why.
What does this year, Connor, you think look like for Daniel Jones?
I don't have very high expectations. And I was talking to Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post actually about this yesterday. And he made a very good point that when Daniel Jones had that really good season when the Giants went to the playoffs, it was 11 hats on defense all keying in on Saquon Barkley. And then Jones able to make plays with his legs, make some plays through the air, run the RPO and read options and things like that. Because everyone was so focused on Barkley that it took a lot of pressure off of him. Barkley's gone, and every team is going to focus on Malik Nabers. And I don't know if anyone's really going to be afraid of Eric Gray and Singletary and Tracy, at least not yet. I mean, they're serviceable players, but I don't know if they're guys anyone's going to fear of. When teams are now game planning and have a book on Daniel Jones and how to stop Daniel Jones, I don't feel overly confident in his ability to beat the teams that are now trying to beat him. And I think it could be a pretty long year. And honestly, Moose, come October, November, it wouldn't surprise me if we're having a discussion on if the Giants are considering benching Daniel Jones so they don't have to worry about that injury guarantee that's in his contract. Now, whether John Mara allows that, we'll see. But I think it will be a discussion that we are having in short order. And the two real big games to keep an eye on there, Moose, are Week 1 and 2, because if the Giants can't beat the Vikings, and then the Giants can't beat Washington, and having seen the Commanders in a joint practice, I think there's some talent on that team, specifically with Jaden Daniels on that offense. If the Giants get off to a slow start and start 0-2, you look at the rest of that schedule the first 8 weeks of the season, it doesn't get easier from then on out, where it could be a very, very challenging start for this team. And as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll said yesterday, they got to start fast. I worry that they're going to be able to do that and have concerns about their ability to do that.
How big of an issue was Wink fracturing on that coaching staff a year ago? Because that's the one thing, Connor, you know,
yeah.
I thought the team year one, I know success leads the way. I thought the team was ultra prepared, ready to go. The coaching staff gave them a distinct advantage. I didn't get that sense. And I know they got ravaged by injury. And I know I didn't get that sense necessarily. I'm not telling you the team quit. It didn't. But didn't get that sense year two like I did year one. What about this coaching staff year 3?
They butted heads. That was definitely a thing. I mean, Brian Daboll and Wink Martindale, there wasn't a pre-existing relationship there for them to know each other that well. But they butted heads just because they're very different people. I mean, Wink, for all his bravado on what you think who he is, he's not Rex Ryan. He's not boisterous. I mean, that's not. So when Brian Daboll would kind of get real hot-headed and heated on the sideline, you'd see Wink was really even keel throughout the good, the bad, everything. That's just the type of coach that he is. In his opinion, you know, how can he ask his players to keep their composure if he can't keep his composure? And then Brian Daboll is basically the complete opposite. The one thing that I think is not a storyline that's being talked about enough with Wink Martindale is that he took Giants defenses that really did not have a lot of talent, and his schemes were designed to confuse the opposition so much. And I'm sure sometimes they confused his own players too, but he was confusing the opposing quarterback so often that the Giants were able to orchestrate success despite not necessarily having talent. That is not Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen is a very basic, go out there and run our defense. We're not going to be too crazy with our blitzes. We're not going to be too crazy with our coverage designs. We're just going to run our defense. I don't know if the Giants have the talent on defense to do that. And they didn't have the talent the last 2 years, but Wink was so creative and unorthodox that he was able to mask some of their flaws. I think those flaws are going to be on display for the defense, and I don't know if we're talking about that too much. As far as the chemistry within the coaching staff, that was an issue last year, and you basically had three. The Giants, if the Giants let Mike Kafka go, he was going to be Seattle's offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll was going to lose all three coordinators. They just didn't want the perception of what that was going to look like, so they gave Kafka the promotion to assistant head coach. You know, all right, here's a little bump in. Is all that is. I think storyline is what he needs throughout the year, because ultimately moves that season factor on whether or not Daboll keeps his job or not. Because if that working environment, which from a coaching standpoint was at times toxic last year, if it's toxic again this year, there's going to be some changes on the sideline. I think you'll have a new head coach for the Giants next season.
Wow. You think that much pressure's on Daboll this year?
Yes, I do. And I talked to a couple sources who know Daboll personally, who told me that he told them, "I know I'm coaching for my job this year," which is one of the reasons he has play calling back. Is that if he's going to go down with the ship, he's not going down with somebody else calling his offense. He's going to be calling the shots. So he's well aware, and he does feel like he's coaching for his job.
Well, but Connor, if this team has talent to win four or five games, what are we judging Daboll on then?
You can still see. I think there's a difference there, Moose, between winning four or five games as a coach like Adam Gase's final season, and maybe a team where it becomes very clear there's just no talent. Like I think you can tell a distinct difference between the two. A coach that loses his team, are they fighting in every game? Are they clawing? Are they going to make, like, you can tell, in my opinion, the difference between a coach who's lost the team and lost the locker room and lost the front office and lost everything, and then a coach that is just kind of not cooking with the best groceries, as kind of Parcells used to say. I think you'll be able to tell probably before the end of the year.
Great line by Parcells. If you want me to cook the meal, let me shop for the groceries. Connor Hughes, SNY. Connor, safe travels, you and your family down to Wildwood. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend before the NFL season gets going. Appreciate the time this afternoon.
No problem. I appreciate having me, Moose.
You got it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.